are going to blow for full time right there.
It's time for a look back on today's match.
This is the Full Time Report, the home for MLS in Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome into the Full Time Report. Garrett Chapman, Joe Patrick filling in for Abe Gordon this evening. Atlanta United, the 1-0 losers to CF Montreal. Their third straight road match that they have dropped in MLS play. Their fourth match that they have dropped in all competitions. Not a great run of play here for Rob Valentino's side. They zero shots on goal. Shots on goal. That's the story of the game, Joe Patrick.
Yeah, it's just not good enough. I mean, you have the red card, which you can argue that the first yellow card for Steven Gregerson in the first half was quite soft. But still, like, you know, that obviously set the team up to not be really in a position to win. Although it's weird because in the second half, they created their better chances and were probably the better. I don't know if they were the better team, but they were the better version of Atlanta United versus the first half, even after they went down a man. So just a really, really frustrating night. And it's inexcusable to not be able to put a shot on target in a game. Like, yeah. You didn't challenge the keeper one time. Mm-hmm. It's just, you can't forgive that.
Yeah, no, I mean, you get zero saves from a keeper in a match. I mean, generally speaking, that's not really a good thing for that team.
No.
Right? But because you're assuming that you're going to get a shot on goal.
Here's the other thing. Atlanta had 8 shots in this game, which that's not enough. Mm-hmm. But 8 shots, 6 of them are blocked. How does a shot get blocked? It means there's defenders in the way. They're in the way in between goal. And I think it's symptomatic of what is ailing Atlanta United right now, which is not being direct, which is too slow of a play, and just trying to wait for that perfect opportunity to take a shot. Sometimes they wait so long that there's just so many bodies in the way. Maybe it is a great chance to take a shot, but it has no chance of going in at that point because the opposition knows it's coming and is ready to block it.
I mean, it's the story of this season. I mean, truthfully, I mean, like, this team has had, I mean, we talked ad nauseum on this show and on others and everything else about how this team has dominated the XG statistical categories, but it just hasn't shown up on the scoreboard. And tonight, it's not really the antithesis of that. It's just the XG just wasn't there either. You know, I mean, like, this, it's not like this team was actually creating quality chances. Because they had zero quality chances on the day.
The first half was absolutely brutal. They had no shots. They were technically given one shot attempt that was basically on like a ricochet tackle by Ronald Hernandez, which is just, I mean, like, how do you can't justify that. I don't know. I'm interested to hear kind of what Rob Valentino is going to say about it after the game. But I thought it was disappointing from him as well. Just, you know, the way the team was set up. You know, first of all, the selection, the players that were available were not as bad as this result was.
No.
To me, this is a kind of, I hate to say this because I like Rob a lot and I cover him, I talk to him regularly, but this is not the sign of a well-coached team, what we just saw tonight. You have, you know, ill-discipline, obviously, with the cards. You've got a team that's in a, and I'm not saying that's on Rob.
We'll talk about that.
I'm not just trying to say that's on Rob, but like, there's just, you would think that a coach that had a better grasp on the situation would be able to put these players in a better position to succeed, but right now it's not happening. There was not as big of a discrepancy between the talent of players on Montreal and Atlanta as there were in the stats tonight. It could have been and should have been way worse if not for a player that we'll talk about a little bit later.
Yeah, and look, I mean, Steven Gregerson, of course, he picks up the 2 yellow cards on two very soft yellow cards from Ted Uncle, and I'm not going to get fined for saying it. Maybe Rob Valentino might, but they're soft yellow cards. That one of them wasn't even a foul.
Yeah, the first yellow was soft. The second one is one that does get given, not always, but it does get given, and it probably should get given typically. And that's one where with Steon, like, you just have to know you cannot touch the guy in that situation because he's probably going to go down. He's probably going to try to draw the contact, especially if he knows it's you and you're already on a yellow.
It should have been like the first one where he just sort of misses him for the most part.
Yeah, first one I didn't even see any real clear contact on that.
Maybe it was just me.
I'm sure there was some, you know, nick, but it wasn't a lot, you know. I don't think it was worth a yellow card.
Not really a lot there. But look, he still picks up the second yellow card, and he is going to be suspended for next Wednesday's match against NYCFC. And the manager, Rob Valentino, he is going to be hitting the podium, and we'll send it back up to Montreal as soon as he is there. But Joe Patrick, what do you say we hand out a man of the match? I feel like we need to do this, don't we? Who do you have it for today?
It's got to be Brad Guzan. He's the only one who I think, you know, kind of covered himself in glory in this one, even though I know he'll be as frustrated as anybody with the way that this match went down. And he is the leader of this team. But Montreal, based on, so you know expected goals, right? That basically is taking a map of the field and determining, based on where the shot is taken on the field with some other factors, determines how likely that chance is typically to result in a goal. There's also a statistic called post-shot XG, which basically maps the mouth of the goal and determines, based on where the ball enters that goal frame, how likely it is to be a goal. Basically, Montreal, essentially, by this stat, should have had 3 goals tonight. But they only have one, thanks to the heroics of Brad Guzan. That just shows how good he is. He basically earned the team 2 goals. They basically scored 2 goals for what a goalkeeper can do.
Yeah, I mean, he had a tremendous match. And look, I mean, he gave this team the best opportunity to win. I take a lot of notes during these matches. And so I just wrote down some great saves from Brad Guzan. And I scratched it out and changed it out to a lot of great saves from Brad Guzan tonight. Even more great saves. And we'll hear a couple of those here when we go over some highlights here in just a moment, but what little highlights that we really do have from this contest. But statistical recap, let's come in through here. Possession from the site that I saw, because MLS Soccer has a wild possession stat that is still up. They say that Montreal had 83% possession. I don't think that that is an accurate number, but...
Take a look at this, Garrett. I'm showing Garrett right now an image of what is called like the momentum meter.
Oh, no.
And it's basically based off of pass and like the value of passes that occur during a game. It's kind of analytically based. It is all Montreal. There is basically there are a few tiny blips for Atlanta United who took the momentum throughout the game. It was all Montreal.
So J. Patrick 200 on Twitter. Go ahead and retweet that, and then we'll get people to go check that out. That is an unbelievable metric. It's something that I check out. I think that's on a, was that SofaScore that that's on? I want to say, or WhoScore, I think it's WhoScore.com.
I'm not sure where it was sourced from.
A great site that I use all the time. But look, I mean, they had the full momentum in this match. And it was just, it was a very frustrating match to watch. 0-0 at the half, and then of course they do get that shot in that 50th minute. Really felt like a dagger that, and then you get the yellow, the red card right after that. But the statistical recap, 64-36, they win possession there. The XG, 1.89 to 0.42. Big chances, they outdo Atlanta 5-0. Shots, 17-8. Shots on goal, 7-0. And
that's a molly whopping.
Yeah, to say the very least. And this statistical recap is brought to you by Piedmont. Piedmont Healthcare offers you exceptional hassle-free care closer to home. Piedmont, the official adult healthcare provider of Atlanta United.
When people hear that possession number, it's not because Atlanta United got a red card. That possession number was actually slightly higher at halftime before Atlanta had a player sent off. I mean, they were just getting outplayed throughout this match. I don't know another way we could say it.
Yeah, I mean, they played 35 full minutes without Steelan Gregerson in this match. And I'm not ashamed to say it. I think the team actually looked better without Gregerson in this game. It seemed like they opened up a little bit.
Exactly. They looked better. I don't think it was necessarily because that you lose Gregerson, but it was because it seems like something mentally, like a switch flipped in the minds of the players that allowed them, gave them a sense of urgency, I guess, to go out and try to attack the game and get that goal.
Yeah.
You would like to see that kind of thing in the first half, you know, like when the game is scoreless, and maybe they were trying to do that, I don't know. But you're right. It is interesting that we saw the better part of Atlanta United tonight when they were without Gregerson, when they were down to 10 men.
Yeah, and one of the biggest issues that we've seen with this team is the fact that they're not really able to get out and put in good quality opportunities in the first halves of matches. And mm-hmm. we see that just...
Jason talked about it before the
game. Jason talked about it. 9 first-half goals compared to 20 second-half goals. I mean, 20 second-half goals, that's a really good number.
Yeah.
That's really, really good.
Yeah.
And if you can come even close to that number in the first half, we're talking about Gonzalo Pineda likely still having a job here. We're talking about this team being much further up in the table right now. And as it stands, I mean, Atlanta's on the outside looking in. And it just hasn't been enough from this club right now.
Yeah, when you think back to the best versions of Atlanta United in their history, when you're talking about the Tata Martino teams of 2017, 2018, you know, I was there for all of those games, especially the home games. I know this one was on the road, but those teams blitzed opponents early in the game. They would come at them, and I think opponents were scared. I think they were honestly, like, frightened about what they were going to see, what, you know, Atlanta United was going to bring at them in those opening 20 minutes of games. Oftentimes, Atlanta took a lead, and then the game becomes so much easier. I was talking to former center back Michael Parkhurst about this, and he was saying that actually it wasn't like we had some, like, crazy ability to, like, come back when we were down because we were just so much better than the other team. games.
Yeah.
It was actually that we were just taking leads early in games, and then it became so much more difficult for the opponent to actually get the results against us.
Yeah.
And that's what this team needs to figure out how to accomplish.
Playing with a lead is always a lot easier. And I'm actually going to dig into that conversation when we get back here. This is the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I do that way more than I'm proud of, but we will have more of this discourse here on the other side. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
With more full-time report.
A complete review of today's match on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the full-time report. Joe Patrick, Garrett Chapman here in the Kia Studios in Atlanta. But let's send it back up to Montreal where Rob Valentino is taking the podium.
As we're on the counter. At that point you just got to put out fires, and especially in transition moments. So you got two players there and one to theirs, and we don't deal with it. So it's whether it's naive or just that we talked about before the game, concentration and execution. And that's a moment where it's a lack of concentration and execution.
You're missing Giacomakis, or not missing. You no longer have Giacomakis. You no longer have Almada. You've said, I'm coaching the guys that are here. But the offense tonight, no shots on goal for the first time all season, seven chances created. How can you get just some spark going for going forward now?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a tough moment, right? Like, I think in the first half, but we knew we would probably have to defend a lot, and I think I touched on that earlier in the week about how we would defend and be a little bit more solid. And then, well, it's not pretty by any means, but I told them, like, it's going to be like this. And I think going away from home, it is like that with most teams around the league. But if you are solid defensively, you eventually can either make them frustrated and create chances that way, and that's what I've been trying to add. And at the halftime, we said that. And then we went in and we talked about some adjustments where we can be a little bit more active. And then also on the ball, there was very few moments where we were getting on it. So how we could be better and more brave to get on it. And for a couple minutes, you saw it. And then all of a sudden, red card changes. And then from there, like, I think we created more when we didn't have a guy, which is, I'm not happy about that, but it shows me that we've got something in the group. You asked the question about how we create. We have to just continue on about the counter movements, how we can get it behind, how we can get service to those guys. Away from home is difficult. The idea was that we defend together and we look to counter a lot. That was one way. The other way was, you know, link up play through, whether it was through Danny Rios or whether it was through Ashonde, and then to get Saba in behind. And we didn't do that enough tonight. So that's on me.
Seeing both Ashonde and yellow cards to me seemed kind of weak. The second, particularly, like a shoulder-to-shoulder tackle, and they just got their legs wrapped up. I was curious if you had an opinion on either call.
You should tell them that. Yeah. I mean, look, their decisions, their decisions they make, the referees, and they make it with all the informed ways they can, and whether I agree or disagree, it happened, and then we had to react. So I don't have much opinion on referee decisions.
What changed in the second half before the goal felt like at 11-11, Atlanta looked their best? What tweaks did you make?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about how we could gain a couple more yards defensively. I felt like in the first half, although we defended relatively well, and it wasn't pretty at times, but we defended relatively well. It was like, all right, how can we get 5 or 6 more yards as the ball goes backwards? Can we grab some more yards to be a little bit more active and force them into some more turnovers? And then we talked about a few movements. I touched on it before, like, how we could be more brave on the ball to actually look for the passes. I felt like we weren't even trying at times in the first half. And then a part of it was like actual execution. So can we connect 2 or 3 passes in transition if we then can keep the ball? So we talked about a few movements that we thought we could unbalance them a little bit. And again, like you said, we saw it for a few minutes. And that's frustrating, because when you go and try to correct things at halftime to try to have a more proactive second half, because I didn't want to just sit and defend, and that's not what I'm asking them to do, is sit and defend, is how can we be a little more aggressive and compact and together, and then that changed. So that's frustrating, because it would have been nice to see if we could have grabbed something there when it was 11-11.
But like the first half, Montreal, you're right, not that your guys sat back to defend, it felt like Montreal pinned you quite often, and their movement, especially with Edwards and with Sosa, was really difficult for that side to deal with. Mm-hmm. Did you feel like that improved as the night went on, that you were able to pick up those runners a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think like that was a little bit different. Like their wingbacks typically don't go in those positions. And then as they did, I thought on the other side, we dealt with like Opoku dropping in that space pretty well. And so that was a positive. And then it was the other side of how we could, again, gain yards and cut those passes off no matter who moves in those spaces. But yeah, that it did cause us some problems, but nothing earth shattering or anything like that. But it was we gained, I would say, some confidence in how we were defending from what we talked about at halftime, showed them some videos of it, and then they could see, okay, yeah, I can gain some more yards here, cut those passes off. And but they did cause us some problems in the first half with that.
So last one for me, just personnel on Wednesday, Cobb's off to the U-20s after tonight, right?
Yes.
And then Gregerson out. So, you know, I know it's very early days, but do you have to possibly look at changing the shape that has worked in some ways here lately?
Yeah, like I tell you guys all the time, I'm always looking at the game, that how we can look at that game plan, whether it's shape, personnel now. I mean, I just told them in there, like, we have the group we have, and we're gonna, I believe in the guys that are in there, and whoever gets called upon, whatever shape it is, like, we're gonna attack that game as best we can.
All right, that's manager Rob Valentino addressing the media. And one thing that I just noticed or realized is the question that Jason Longshore just asked. Noah Cobb is going to be gone after tonight.
Yeah.
He's going off to go play in the U-20s.
Mm-hmm.
And
Steon's suspended.
Steon's suspended now. So now you're down two center backs, and you're right back to where you'd been mm-hmm. in a situation that you were hopefully getting out of. And, I mean, maybe you see an Efrain Morales, and you come in and Luis Abram, and maybe you play the three center backs. Are you comfortable with doing that right now?
Maybe, but I wouldn't do that. Is the game at home against NYCFC? Okay.
It
that would actually lend itself more to a back three. I think if it was in New York, then I would not advise going with a back three in Yankee Stadium. But still, like if you're going to go to a back three and not change the shape, you go with Derek Williams and then Efrain Morales and Luis Abram. You know, it's a tough call. And then you still have, I think, the bigger question here, Garrett, is then if you're in a back three, you still have Ronald Hernandez as a left wing back, and he's a right-footed player. He's not naturally like an attacking mm-hmm. kind of player, so he's already in a little bit of misfit at that position as it stands. So I think it's back to the drawing board for Rob Valentino here. I think they will have to change the shape. I think that's kind of what Jason seems to me to kind of be thinking along the same lines.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't really see any way around it at this point.
Right.
I mean, this team needs a breath of fresh air somewhere.
Exactly.
And I mean, maybe it comes in with maybe you see a Brennan come in and kind of jump into this attack. I mean, he came in. And you and I were going back and forth about it. Really, I think I was just venting about it. But I wanted to see Brennan a lot earlier.
Yeah. And, yeah.
No.
Yeah. So, myself, too, I think a lot of people have been wanting to see him more, because when he comes into the game, it seems like
energy.
There's energy. There's, like, a forward, a positivity to his game and the way that he wants to play. And I think the reason why he has not been playing so much recently is because the team has gone into this back three. Remember that one time where we really got the longer period of him was when he came on at first as a sub for an injured Edwin Mascara. So mm-hmm. he had to play for the majority of that game.
And he played well.
Yeah, he did play well. But he is more of a natural winger. And when this team is in a back three, you have those wing backs out wide. And Rob is having these front three attackers play really narrowly so they can kind of combine. And I don't think that he maybe thinks that that's well suited to Luke Brennan's game. But if they go to a back four, they're much more likely to go with more standard wingers that are mm-hmm. providing that width in the outside. And I think that would help Luke potentially get himself into the team.
I mean, that's the other thing about this team that Garth Lagerwey's assembled. I mean, this team does have options. And it just seems like not a lot of those options have been utilized necessarily, and maybe that's just my outlook on it. But we'll see what they end up doing. Of course, NYCFC on Wednesday. That coverage starting at 6:30 with the Five Stripes Countdown, and then Jason and Mike taking the mic for the call of that match. Look, Atlanta United needs to get a positive result. They really, really need to get a positive result. But let's jump into some of these highlights, because highlights are brought to you by Scana. For over 20 years, Scana Energy has made it easy for Georgians to receive the best natural gas rates and excellent customer service. Call 877-467-2262 to sign up today. And not a whole lot happening in the first half of action. A big statistical edge for Montreal. In fact, it was statistical domination. But they didn't really threaten all that much, highlighted by this 34th minute save by Brad Guzan.
Took an awkward roll. Has to drop it back to Campbell. Fires it through to Huon, who's behind Hernandez. Cut back pass to Poku, top of the box. Fakes a shot. Passes now to Sosa. Ahead to Edwards. Outside of the six. Spins to the right. Fakes the shot. Back to the left. Shot. Save Guzan at the near post. Kicked up in the air by Williams. It'll bounce into the corner. Saba traps. And will clear it to Williams.
Yeah, and really, Brad Guzan was the number one reason why this team was able to keep the score level at halftime. And that was your score, 0-0, going into the locker room. And like I said, the statistical domination from Montreal at the time was 65-35 time of possession, with shots 9-1 and 3-1 on 3-0 on target. Just a complete domination by Montreal in that first half, but it didn't show up on the pitch. Not until the 51st minute, when Rouen gets Montreal on the board quickly after the second half kicked off.
Huon on the edge of the attacking third now. Passes centrally to Opoku. Stabbed away by Schlesch, but to Lassiter. Lassiter playing it down the left wing. Raheem Edwards now will pitch towards the back post. Header, Huon score! Here we go again. Atlanta United giving up the first goal of the match. In the 51st minute, it's Huon scoring for only the second time this year, and Montreal's got the 1-0 lead.
Yeah, and it was Raheem Edwards on the assist, and it was kind of a simple cross. No pressure on Edwards, the wing back, and it's just a perfect example of this team expecting its defending to be perfect and needing its defending to be perfect because they're not getting enough quality in the attacking third. And then the hole gets a little bit deeper. Stian Gregersen sent off for a second yellow card. My honest opinion, neither foul was really worthy of a booking, much less a red card that he ended up getting. But look, this team was expecting the defending to be perfect, and Brad Guzan was just about as perfect as you could hope, especially personified by this 88th minute save.
Here's Huon on the right wing now for Montreal as we're about to cross in the 88th minute. He sends this down the middle to Vilsain, a 1v1 with Williams. Vilsain at the top of the 18, dribbles to the edge of the 6. Is steered away, though, by Williams. Cut back pass. Here's a shot. Tipped over the crossbar by Guzan. A run-on shot by Toy. And Guzan made a brilliant save for a corner.
Yeah, but unfortunately, goalkeepers cannot score goals. Or at least they don't score goals very often. Our man of the match is Brad Guzan, but he does give up the one goal. And Atlanta United falls 1-0 to CF Montreal, extending their 4-match losing streak and their third consecutive match as a loss on the road in an MLS play. They are out of the MLS playoffs as it currently stands, and we are going to discuss some of those results from around the league. We'll give you a table update when we get back. This is the Full-Time Report on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Full-Time! This is the Full-Time Report
on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
And we're back on the Full-Time Report. Joe Patrick, Garrett Chapman here in the Kia Studios in Atlanta. Let's send it right back up to Montreal, where Noah Cobb is taking the podium.
Play in Europe one day, yeah. I mean, I've said it when I signed my contract. I want to play in the biggest games that I possibly can, whatever level that is. Yeah.
And switching back to tonight, how do the guys at the back, how do y'all compartmentalize your focus when the offense is kind of struggling a little bit right now, missing key players?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely know that, our goal going into every game is keeping a clean sheet. Mm-hmm. And to be fair to our attackers, you know, the last few games they've scored against Salt Lake, they put 2 and we gave up 5. So it's not just the attackers. They've been doing their job. Maybe tonight we missed some chances or didn't get many chances. But, you know, it's a silly goal to give away from us defenders. So I think it's not their fault. It's everyone's fault. You know, we win together, we lose together.
Montreal's movement tonight was really interesting, especially in the first 45 with lots of guys flooding areas. How did you guys deal with that? And did you feel like the communication was strong to manage it?
Yeah, I thought in the first half, especially, we did a really good job of keeping the game in front of us. I mean, for the most part, I thought we were pretty compact. We struggled a little bit to get good sequences on the ball. But, you know, for the most part, honestly, I felt like we controlled pretty well when we didn't have the ball. I thought, You know, they weren't creating a whole lot of chances or a whole lot of quality chances. So I think that was a pretty good example of, you know, you can sort of control the game when you don't have the ball.
Yeah, it felt like they were at least controlling like field position, not really chances. But the start to the second half before the goal, it felt like that flipped. What was the message at halftime? And how did you think, again, before the goal, before the turnover, how did you think like it went?
Yeah, I think the first few minutes of the second half was one of our better periods in the game. And I thought, you know, the message at halftime was just, it was pretty simple. It was honestly just, you know, we can be a bit braver. We can, you know, maybe play a little bit more than we did in the first half. And it was just continue to stay in the game. Give yourself a chance to win it. Just stay, because, I mean, you know, 0-0, you're right there. It's anybody's game. So I think we did a good job of keeping ourselves in the game in that first half, even though it was, you know, we didn't have a lot of the ball as well.
And then going down to 10, you know, you and Derek playing as a duo, and at the end, Derek's turning into an extra forward, and it's really just you a lot of times. You know, those moments, it feels like, you know, you've really taken on that kind of leadership role to be able to handle that at this point. How difficult is it at that stage where you're throwing everybody forward and trying to make something of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely difficult, but it's what the game calls for. You really have to do that. I mean, you're down 1-0, you're down a man. There's us players, you're willing to lose 2 or 3-0 to try to get that goal. You know, it's 0-1-0 or 2-0, you're still getting 0 points. So I definitely think that's what the game calls for. And I think, I mean, yeah, I trust myself there in the back. I know it's going to be difficult. A lot of times they're going to be outnumbered, but I know that's what the game calls for. And I know that's my role in that situation. And I know that's, you know, what I'm being asked to do.
All right, Noah Cobb, who is going to be representing the United States men's national team U-20s, coming up here in just a little bit. And he's, of course, leaving for that contest as soon as this match. Well, as soon as he gets back to Atlanta, he's just going to hop on another plane and he's going to be off with the team. But look, Noah Cobb is, I think, and really the defending as a whole, Joe, I feel like the defending has been pretty good. You know, it's had some bad moments, and I feel like today was an example of the bad moment. But largely, I feel like it's been okay.
It's okay.
Like, okay. But the attacking play has really been what suffered most.
Yeah, yeah. And the lack of the attacking play is really, I think, what makes fans feel so bad about the games. Because it just makes you, after 90 minutes of it, you just sit there and go, what the heck did I just watch? You know, like, well, especially when there's such a dearth of attacking play like there was in this game, it feels like a total waste of time to have sat through it. And I totally understand that sentiment.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's been and I'm going up and down on X, and get your questions in to us at JoePatrick200.
J.A.
Patrick200 and at GChapATL on Twitter. I see a couple of those have come in, and we'll get to those here on the other side. But look, at the end of the day, like, this is a team that is expecting its defense to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to win a lot of matches over the course of a season expecting your defense to be perfect. Not even expecting, needing your defense mm-hmm. to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason that this team has started dropping games. And it's because you're just not able to generate anything in the attacking half. You just can't get anything done. I mean, I said while we were listening to Noah Cobb, this is their first time being shut out since May 25th. But it's the fifth time this season in MLS play that they have been shut out. But that doesn't even include a lot of the examples. Like when they were playing New England Revolution, Daniel Rios scores a meaningless goal, effectively, at the very end of a match.
Yeah.
Right? It was like in the 89th minute, I believe, in that game. And that's just, it's just not good enough.
Yeah.
It's not good enough.
Yeah. And the reason why this team doesn't get results also, Garrett, is that they only have 4 clean sheets so far this year in 23 games. That's not a winning formula. Yeah, like these two things combined, that's not a winning formula. And they have 4 clean sheets this season, and 2 of them are against Chicago Fire, who are in 14th place in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah,
and then also
Chicago Fire did shut out Atlanta United.
Yeah, it was a 0-0. Yeah, it was a
0-0. But speaking of shutouts, Atlanta United would like to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they will donate $2,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. And as Joe mentioned, the total sits at 4. So your total is currently sitting at $8,000. And Like I said, get your questions in at JAPatrick200 on Twitter, at GChapETL. I've seen a couple come through, and we will read those here on the other side. This is the Full-Time Report. Atlanta United, the 1-0 losers to CF Montreal. My name is Garrett Chapman. His name is Joe Patrick. This is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back to the Full-Time Report.
Full-time.
Our United play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the Full-Time Report. Garrett Chapman, Joe Patrick here in the Kia Studios. Atlanta United, the 1-0 losers to CF Montreal. And we are going to take your questions here, JAPatrick200 at GChapETL, so, or at 929 The Game on Twitter if you want to get those questions in. I've got a couple here. First one is from Sheaves. Says, what should we look forward to the rest of the season? It's hard to go to the game right now, honestly. I know everyone is looking forward to players coming and changing things, but Garth needs to be looking more for a coach than for players. Kind of some tough analysis there from Sheaves. Yeah, I mean, look, the transfer window is 5 days away. I think that's really the number one thing that you can be looking for, because this team is just absent its best players. And it's not even just its top two goal scorers or two top two attacking players. I mean, Thiago Almada and Yorgos Giakoumakis were the two best players on this team. And then you lose those guys, and the quality is so obviously down. I mean, you could see that quality plummet the moment Yorgos Giakoumakis left this team back end of March. And, of course, he left with that injury. And you saw the quality just diminish rapidly, because you have Jamal Tiare, which, I mean, he's a fine player. He's a strong player. Daniel Rios, I mean, he's had a strong run of play. But they're not your number one striker.
Right.
And they're not who you brought in to be your number one striker. Yorgos was. And the fact that you've played without Yorgos at any consistent level since March 31st is why this team has continuously struggled to put balls in the back of the net. And look, I say all this to say that could change in when that transfer window opens. Now, they're not going to be here and like all of a sudden we're going to get this influx of players as soon as the transfer window opens. But I think that that's going to open up a little bit of hope. It's going to open up a little bit of opportunity for Garth to, you know, go out there and spend some money. We've already heard some rumors of some players who are potentially on the market for Atlanta to go get. And they got money to spend.
Yeah, they absolutely do. And when you say it's hard to go to a game right now, honestly, I totally understand it. You know, I totally get it, because when you watch games like this, like, that's not something you want to do. Like, you'd rather do something else with your day or your night or whatever, you know. This happens across sports, you know, this is the reason why bad teams lose attendance, is because fans ultimately decide they have better things to do than to go to the game. And so, obviously Atlanta United needs to turn this around to get people on the other end of this, but I'm just interested to see, how many fans, like, do you actually have who will come back to the games after having gone through such a sustained period of kind of, like, depressed success here over not just, like, the course of this season, but over the course of 4 years where you've just kind of been at best, like, a borderline playoff type of team, and at worst, obviously, much worse. And so these fans have just kind of not really had a whole lot to really, truly look forward to think of themselves as those championship-style.
This is the Full-Time Report
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And we're back on the Full-Time Report. Joe Patrick, Garrett Chapman here in the Kia Studios in Atlanta. Let's send it right back up to Montreal, where Noah Cobb is taking the podium.
Play in Europe one day, yeah. I mean, I've said it when I signed my contract. I want to play in the biggest games that I possibly can, whatever level that is. Yeah.
And switching back to tonight, how do the guys at the back, how do y'all compartmentalize your focus when the offense is kind of struggling a little bit right now, missing key players?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely know that. I mean, our goal going into every game is keeping a clean sheet. Mm-hmm. And to be fair to our attackers, you know, the last few games they've scored. Against Salt Lake, they put two and we gave up five. So it's not just the attackers. They've been doing their job. Maybe tonight we missed some chances or didn't get many chances, but, you know, it's a silly goal to give away from us defenders. So I think it's not their fault. It's everyone's fault. You know, we win together, we lose together.
Montreal's movement tonight was really interesting, especially in the first 45 with lots of guys blooding areas. How did you guys deal with that? And did you feel like the communication was strong to manage it?
Yeah, I thought in the first half, especially, we did a really good job of keeping the game in front of us. I mean, for the most part, I thought we were pretty compact. We struggled a little bit to get good sequences on the ball, but, you know, for the most part, honestly, I felt like we controlled pretty well when we didn't have the ball. I thought, you know, they weren't creating a whole lot of chances or a whole lot of quality chances. So I think that was a pretty good example of, you know, you can sort of control the game when you don't have the ball.
Yeah, it felt like they were at least controlling like field position, not really chances. But the start to the second half before the goal, it felt like that flipped. What was the message at halftime? And how did you think, again, before the goal, before the turnover, how did you think like it went?
Yeah, I think the first few minutes of the second half was one of our better periods in the game. And I thought, you know, the message at halftime was just, it was pretty simple. It was honestly just, you know, we can be a bit braver. We can, you know, maybe play a little bit more than we did in the first half. And it was just continue to stay in the game. Give yourself a chance to win it. Just stay, because, I mean, you know, 0-0, you're right there. It's anybody's game. So I think we did a good job of keeping ourselves in the game in that first half, even though it was, you know, we didn't have a lot of the ball as well.
And then going down to 10, you know, you and Derek playing as a duo, and at the end, Derek's turning into an extra forward, and it's really just you a lot of times. You know, those moments, it feels like, you know, you've really taken on that kind of leadership role to be able to handle that at this point. How difficult is it at that stage where you're throwing everybody forward and trying to make something of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely difficult, but it's what the game calls for. You really have to do that. I mean, you're down 1-0, you're down a man. There's us players, you're willing to lose 2 or 3-0 to try to get that goal. You know, it's 0-1-0 or 2-0, you're still getting 0 points. So I definitely think that's what the game calls for. And I think, I mean, yeah, I trust myself there in the back. I know it's going to be difficult. A lot of times they're going to be outnumbered, but I know that's what the game calls for. And I know that's my role in that situation. And I know that's, you know, what I'm being asked to do.
All right, Noah Cobb, who is going to be representing the United States men's national team U-20s, coming up here in just a little bit. And he's, of course, leaving for that contest as soon as this match, well, as soon as he gets back to Atlanta, he's just going to hop on another plane and he's going to be off with the team. But look, Noah Cobb is, I think, and really the defending as a whole, Joe, I feel like the defending has been pretty good. You know, it's had some bad moments, and I feel like today was an example of the bad moment. But largely, I feel like it's been okay.
It's okay.
Like, okay. But the attacking play has really been what suffered most.
Yeah, yeah. And the lack of the attacking play is really, I think, what makes fans feel so bad about the games. Because it just makes you, after 90 minutes of it, you just sit there and go, what the heck did I just watch? You know, like, well, especially when there's such a dearth of attacking play like there was in this game, it feels like a total waste of time to have sat through it. And I totally understand that sentiment.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's been and I'm going up and down on X, and get your questions in to us at JoePatrick200.
JAPatrick200
and at GChapATL on Twitter. I see a couple of those have come in, and we'll get to those here on the other side. But look, at the end of the day, like, this is a team that is expecting its defense to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to win a lot of matches over the course of a season expecting your defense to be perfect. Not even expecting, needing your defense mm-hmm. to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason that this team has started dropping games. And it's because you're just not able to generate anything in the attacking half. You just can't get anything done. I mean, I said while we were listening to Noah Cobb, this is their first time being shut out since May 25th. But it's the fifth time this season in MLS play that they have been shut out. But that doesn't even include a lot of the examples. Like when they were playing New England Revolution, Daniel Rios scores a meaningless goal, effectively, at the very end of a match.
Yeah.
Right? It was like in the 89th minute, I believe, in that game. And that's just, it's just not good enough.
Yeah.
It's not good enough.
Yeah. And the reason why this team doesn't get results also, Garrett, is that they only have 4 clean sheets so far this year in 23 games.
That's
not a winning formula. Yeah, like these two things combined, that's not a winning formula. And they have 4 clean sheets this season, and 2 of them are against Chicago Fire, who are in 14th place in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, one of the worst teams in MLS. Chicago Fire did shutout Atlanta United.
Yeah, it was a 0-0. Yeah, it was a no-no.
But speaking of shutouts, Atlanta United would like to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they will donate $2,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. And as Joe mentioned, the total sits at four. So your total is currently sitting at $8,000. And like I said, get your questions in at JAPatrick200 on Twitter, at GChapETL. I've seen a couple come through, and we will read those here on the other side. This is the Full-Time Report. Atlanta United, the 1-0 losers to CF Montreal. My name is Garrett Chapman. His name is Joe Patrick. This is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back to the Full-Time Report.
Full-time.
Our United play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the Full-Time Report. Garrett Chapman, Joe Patrick here in the Kia Studios. Atlanta United, the 1-0 losers to CF Montreal. And we are going to take your questions here, JAPatrick200 at GChapETL, so, or at 929 The Game on Twitter if you want to get those questions in. I've got a couple here. First one is from Sheeves. Says, what should we look forward to the rest of the season? It's hard to go to the game right now, honestly. I know everyone is looking forward to players coming and changing things, but Garth needs to be looking more for a coach than for players. Kind of some tough analysis there from Sheeves. Yeah, I mean, look, the transfer window is 5 days away. I think that's really the number one thing that you can be looking for, because this team is just absent its best players. And it's not even just its top two goal scorers or two top two attacking players. I mean, Thiago Almada and Yorgos Giakoumakis were the two best players on this team. And then you lose those guys, and the quality is so obviously down. I mean, you could see that quality plummet the moment Yorgos Giakoumakis left this team back end of March. And, of course, he left with that injury. And you saw the quality just diminish rapidly, because you have Jamal Traoré, which, I mean, he's a fine player. He's a strong player. Daniel Rios, I mean, he's had a strong run of play. But they're not your number one striker.
Right.
And they're not who you brought in to be your number one striker. Yorgos was. And the fact that you've played without Yorgos at any consistent level since March 31st is why this team has continuously struggled to put balls in the back of the net. And look, I say all this to say that could change in when that transfer window opens. Now, they're not going to be here and like all of a sudden we're going to get this influx of players as soon as the transfer window opens. But I think that's going to open up a little bit of hope. It's going to open up a little bit of opportunity for Garth to, you know, go out there and spend some money. We've already heard some rumors of some players who are potentially on the market for Atlanta to go get. And they got money to spend.
Mm. Yeah, they absolutely do. And when Sheeves, when you say it's hard to go to a game right now, honestly, I totally understand it. You know, I totally get it, because when you watch games like this, like, that's not something you want to do. Like, you'd rather do something else with your day or your night or whatever, you know. This happens across sports, you know, this is the reason why bad teams lose attendance, is because fans ultimately decide they have better things to do than to go to the game. And so, obviously Atlanta United needs to turn this around to get people on the other end of this, but I'm just interested to see, how many fans, like, do you actually have who will come back to the games after having gone through such a sustained period of kind of, like, depressed success here over not just, like, the course of this season, but over the course of 4 years where you've just kind of been, at best, like, a borderline playoff type of team, and at worst, obviously, much worse. And so these fans have just kind of not really had a whole lot to really, truly look forward to think of themselves as those championship style of teams that this team proved that it was when it first launched in 2017-2018 and came on to this, you know, took the league and the country really by storm.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that there aren't efforts being made. Garth, you know, has been doing a lot, I think, with the roster and overall at the club, even beyond the team. There's, you know, construction going on the training ground to expand that. You've got the U.S. national team investment by Arthur Blank to kind of bring all that in. So there's still so much good happening in the sport here in the city, but it's just really unfortunate for the fans that they don't have a better product to watch from the Atlanta United squad week in, week out.
Yeah, and look, they are absolutely still looking for a coach. The search is ongoing, and you just got to trust this process.
Yeah, and I would say to that point about she saying they'd rather be looking for the coach than the players, the players are what win the games.
Of course.
They're the ones who are out there. You have to prioritize the players. When
yes.
When Garth Lagerwey was in his press conference after Gonzalo Pineda was relieved of his duties, he talked about it. He says, you know, I believe kind of success is ascent, generally speaking, it's like 80% on the players, 20% on the coach. I think that might even be overestimating the coach's influence even a little bit. But still, if you were just to say that, you would say that you have to then prioritize getting players in if they're responsible. Mm-hmm. They're mostly responsible for the results that you get. And it's not to say that you don't go after a coach, but there is, unfortunately, there's only so much you can do with your time. And when you have a transfer window that opens next week, you have to be kind of fully in on the players. And then
yeah.
once you get the players in, then you have a better idea of going out into the market for a coach and saying, look at the roster we have. We just signed these two designated players to long-term contracts. We'd like to hear your ideas as to how you can potentially use them, and that can hopefully get you a better kind of pairing between the roster and the coach that you has that they take over.
Yeah, I think the fact remains that Gonzalo Pineda wasn't fired because he was a bad coach. He was fired because the results didn't add up,
mm-hmm.
and the results didn't add up because Atlanta United wasn't scoring goals.
Right.
And when you look at a lot of the XGs and like the other underlying stats in the data, it did indicate that this team was just kind of unlucky. And you know, if you talk about the injuries sustained to this roster, the lack of quality in the final third due to a lot of the injuries the team sustained. You know, I mean, you look at the amount of center backs that this team has played through. I mean, that would cripple even the best teams in this league. And it's just a situation where Atlanta's just trying to do the best with what they have.
Mm-hmm.
And as of right now, it's just not good enough. And Mike Conte said it on the broadcast. It's like, just based off of the team that they have right now that they're able to assemble, that's going to be hurt even more on Wednesday with mm-hmm. the absence of Stian Gregersen for his second match missed in his last three matches,
mm-hmm.
and then the eventual departure of Noah Cobb to the national team. Caleb Wiley's already gone. We talked about Thiago Almada. We've talked about Yorgos Giakoumakis. That's brutal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking multiple starting players on this roster that have departed.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to really get off the couch and get really interested. But this team, it's going to change in a hurry. We saw it happen last year. They're still right there within striking distance of the of teams in front of them on the table. And looking here at the live table, excuse me as I pull it up. Yeah, so Atlanta sitting there with 24 points. They're 2 points off of Montreal, who did get the win tonight. Nashville also sits with two points tonight. And they're at the bottom of that playoff line. Like, they're 3 points removed from the eighth spot. Now, the situation that gets a little bit more dire is you're running out of opportunity. You're running out of runway.
Right.
And you have to take more advantage of opportunities like what you have tonight.
Yes. This was a chance for them to take points. And they're 3 points from eighth place. They're also 3 points from the bottom of the Eastern Conference.
Yes.
So this can go
two ways. I'm a hopeless optimist.
Of course. I'm just trying to say that, you know, it's like you have to take these opportunities when you can get them. And we were talking about it in the pregame show that there's tough games on the horizon. And when you look at this one, this was a great chance for you to actually take points on a place where traditionally it's the one place where you've been able to go on the road in MLS and have some, you know, modicum of success.
Yeah.
And man, just a huge disappointment tonight that didn't happen. Because again, when you look at the selection, there's still enough talent for, not necessarily saying you should definitely win the game, but definitely enough talent for you to go out there and not get dominated like this team got dominated tonight. Yeah. That was a poor showing.
Yeah, and really that's the biggest thing. I mean, Atlanta, they did get dominated, and of course they play a man down due to the Stian Gregersen red card. But Michael Head says, no question, just apathy. I get it, Michael.
Yeah.
Kevin from Charlotte says, so we can only add two players this window, huh? I know they're DPs, but...
Interesting you say that, Kevin, because yes, I mean, as it stands right now, they can get two DPs in, and that would pretty much be it. But
yeah.
Actually, Carlos Bocanegra was asked this question by Doug Roberson ahead of the Indy 11 game when he did media availability, and he said... we can only add two. We could potentially add more if we do trades, so we'll see. And then I followed up quickly. I said, are there teams interested in your players for Atlanta United that they'd want to trade for? And he said, yes. That there are a lot of players that teams have interest in, so maybe more on the horizon. I doubt that it happens just to kind of level set here, but it's not off the table.
I would be a little surprised if we do see something like that. But Garth Lagerwey says on the Five Stripes Countdown all the time, he says, the moment I will get concerned is the moment people stop calling and inquiring about my players. But going around the rest of MLS, Cincinnati, the 3-1 losers to Charlotte. Huge result there for our neighbors up I-85. DC United gets a win, getting them up off of the bottom of the mat. They get a 2-1 win over Nashville. Of course, Montreal 1-0 winners over Atlanta. Orlando continues their strong run of form, 3-1 winners over New England, who snaps that winning streak for the Revs. Toronto 2-1 winners over Philadelphia as the Union just continue to struggle here. Austin FC loses to Seattle 1-0. And then matches still in progress. Chicago and NYCFC in a shocker is tied 0-0 in the 96th minute. So 6 minutes into stoppage time. Dallas 2-0 leaders over LA Galaxy in another surprising match here in stoppage time there. Entering just now the 90th minute, St. Louis is down 3-1 to Vancouver. Houston is 0-0 with Minnesota in the 46th minute. And just at halftime, Colorado is down 1-0 to New York Red Bulls. Toronto just kicked off, but they already have a goal over Real Salt Lake, 1-0. The Timbers are on top of them there. Still to play tonight, San Jose and Sporting Kansas City, and LAFC and Columbus Crew, both of those kicking off tonight at 10:30. Of course, the latter of those two, LAFC and Columbus, a rematch of the 2023 MLS Cup Final. And we're going to have more discourse here on the other side. Atlanta United, 1-0 losers to Montreal. They extend their all competitions losing streak to 4 matches, their MLS losing streak to 3. More to come on the Five Stripes Countdown, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back with more Full Time Report.
A complete review of today's match on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the Full Time Report. Garrett Chapman, Joe Patrick in for Abe Gordon this evening. Atlanta United, the 1-0 losers up at CF Montreal. And like I mentioned in the last segment, I mean, the attacking quality just hasn't been there. 0 shots on goal, Joe Patrick.
Oh,
and I think that's really
got to be a first this season, I would think, to not have a shot on goal. I can't even remember the last time that's happened. Not let alone this season. Going back multiple seasons. I wonder if it's happened.
Fifth match this year that Atlanta United is held off the scoreboard entirely. But as far as not even getting a single shot on target, I cannot think of a single game where that happened. And in fact, I mean, we're talking about a game where you have one of your designated players sent off in the 55th minute, and that's hardly come up in this conversation tonight. And that's one of the crazier things about the way that this match took place. It just felt like Montreal was in complete control for much of this match. And I mean, you see the final category, it sits at 64% possession. And it seems like Atlanta did find some quality in the second half, but until they find the ability to... I mean, look, the perfect example of this was when Thiago Almada, a few matches ago in his final match, his curtain call match here in Atlanta, when he was playing against Toronto, when he had that moment where he just put the team on his back, right? And he just has that one moment of just pure brilliance. Where is that? This team just doesn't have that quality right now.
Yeah. They don't have anyone who can kind of just take the game and just kind of carry him, you know? And you need those guys.
And you see that kind of with Saba. He's trying to do that at times, and especially when we watched him play against Indy 11. I mean, Saba Lubjaniza was able to come up and make a couple of big plays, and maybe he would make a good run, and then he would feed the ball in, or maybe he'd just shoot the ball into the side of the net. And and it's really because Indy did a good job in that match of playing him to the end line. And he didn't have that same technical ability in the pocket that Thiago Almada really was able to do. And this team is just missing that right now.
Yeah, that close control and that ability to link play, you know, to just bring all the other players into the attack and just get everything moving fluidly. The team doesn't have a player that's like that right now. You've got a guy like Jean De Silva, who's capable of, you know, some really nice technical pieces of skill and able to create his own shot at times and things like that, and that's good, but it's not replicating the kind of thing that Thiago Almada was able to do, which is receive the ball in really tight spaces, especially in the attack, and put other players through, as well as creating shots for yourself. They just don't have that guy right now.
And you have to think too with what Gonzalo Pineda wanted to do. This team was set up for Gonzalo Pineda. It was a team that wanted to play with width, right? And you have a Saba and you have a Jean De Silva. Both of those guys play a lot better when they're out in space. And now you have a Rob Bellantino, who's at, like you mentioned earlier, they're playing a lot tighter, and they're playing a lot more in front of goal, and you're just not getting that same quality from these guys right now, because they're playing in a system that maybe they're not really trying to do too much in. Like they're not really set up to do that kind of thing. And you see the results on the final score sheet. And look, this is the longest losing streak of the season in all competitions. It ties the MLS play the longest streak in MLS play. But Joe Patrick, final thoughts.
You're not. This team is just not generating enough goal scoring chances right now. Doug Roberson from the AJC, who covers the team, says it is the first time this season the team has failed to have a shot on goal in a game this year. So you hope to see that turn around, but again, it's going to be tough for these next couple games until you can get more players in. Maybe the Atlanta and I will have one new player in Pedro Amador, who will be eligible to play in the team's next game. It'll be interesting to see if he's available, especially considering the team will be short a couple defenders after tonight's game. But you just hope that they can find some way to kind of get over this hump, because again, it cannot keep going this way.
Yeah, and it's just been a frustrating result for Atlanta United, one of many so far this season, as they fall to 6-11-6 in 23 matches played and outside of the playoffs as it currently stands. So next match coming up on Wednesday, July 17th, NYCFC takes the trip down south to play at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, as it looks like they finished this one, let me see, hold on, 0-0 to Chicago. So they'll be coming down here looking to get back on the winning side of things. And look, they're a very positive side. Do you have any thoughts on NYC?
I was a mistake. I didn't realize that game was on Wednesday. So actually, Pedro Amador will not be available for that game. He'll only be available next weekend. So
for Columbus.
So they'll be even more shorthanded. So just going to make things more difficult. But hopefully they can, you know, just use that home field advantage the best they can. Maybe they go with the wingers to try to spread out that field. Who knows?
We'll end up seeing. Of course, they're going to be down Steon Gregerson, down Noah Cobb, down Caleb Wiley, down Tiago Almada, down Yorgos Yakamakis. So
good luck.
We will see. But for Joe Patrick, my name is Garrett Chapman. Dom Taroski on the board. Big thank you to him taking care of us all night long. Coverage in that match starting at 6:30 with the Five Stripes Countdown. Abe Gordon will be back alongside of me for that, and then we hand off to the call. For Mike Conti, Jason Longshore, good night, everybody. Atlanta United loses 1-0. Let's see if we can get it again next week. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to the Full Time Report, a complete wrap-up of today's Atlanta United game.
Tune in for complete match day coverage all season long. The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back to the Full Time Report.
Full time.
Our United play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the full-time report. Garrett Chapman, Joe Patrick here in the Kia Studios. Atlanta United, the 1-0 losers to CF Montreal. And we are going to take your questions here, JAPatrick200 at GChapETL, so, or at 929 The Game on Twitter if you want to get those questions in. I've got a couple here. First one is from Sheaves. Says, what should we look forward to the rest of the season? It's hard to go to the game right now, honestly. I know everyone is looking forward to players coming and changing things, but Garth needs to be looking more for a coach than for players. Kind of some tough analysis there from Sheaves. Look, the transfer window is 5 days away. I think that's really the number one thing that you can be looking for, because this team is just absent its best players. And it's not even just its top two goal scorers or two top two attacking players. I mean, Tiago Almada and Yorgos Yakamakis were the two best players on this team. And then you lose those guys, and the quality is so obviously down. I mean, you could see that quality plummet the moment Yorgos Yakamakis left this team back end of March. And, of course, he left with that injury. And you saw the quality just diminish rapidly, because you have Jamal Tiare, which, I mean, he's a fine player. He's a strong player. Daniel Rios, I mean, he's had a strong run of play. But they're not your number one striker.
Right.
And they're not who you brought in to be your number one striker. Yorgos was. And the fact that you've played without Yorgos at any consistent level since March 31st is why this team has continuously struggled to put balls in the back of the net. And look, I say all this to say that could change in when that transfer window opens. Now, they're not going to be here and like all of a sudden we're going to get this influx of players as soon as the transfer window opens. But I think that's going to open up a little bit of hope. It's going to open up a little bit of opportunity for Garth to, you know, go out there and spend some money. We've already heard some rumors of some players who are potentially on the market for Atlanta to go get. And they got money to spend.
Yeah, they absolutely do. And when you say it's hard to go to a game right now, honestly, I totally understand it. You know, I totally get it. Because when you watch games like this, like, that's not something you want to do. Like, you'd rather do something else with your day or your night or whatever. You know, this happens across sports. You know, this is the reason why bad teams lose attendance. It's because fans ultimately decide they have better things to do than to go to the game. And so, obviously, Atlanta United needs to turn this around to get people on the other end of this. But I'm just interested to see, how many fans, like, do you actually have who will come back to the games after having gone through such a sustained period of kind of, like, depressed success here over not just, like, the course of this season, but over the course of 4 years where you've just kind of been at best, like, a borderline playoff type of team, and at worst, obviously, much worse. And so these fans have just kind of not really had a whole lot to really, truly look forward to think of themselves as those championship style of teams that this team proved that it was when it first launched in 2017-2018 and came on to this, you know, took the league in the country really by storm.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that there aren't efforts being made. Garth, you know, has been doing a lot, I think, with the roster and overall at the club, even beyond the team. There's, you know, construction going on the training ground to expand that. You've got the U.S. national team investment by Arthur Blank to kind of bring all that in. So there's still so much good happening in the sport here in the city, but it's just really unfortunate for the fans that they don't have a better product to watch from the Atlanta United squad week in, week out.
Yeah, and look, they are absolutely still looking for a coach. The search is ongoing, and you just got to trust this process.
Yeah, and I would say to that point about she saying they'd rather be looking for the coach than the players. The players are what win the games. They're the ones who are out there. You have to prioritize the players. When Garth Lagerwey was in his press conference after Gonzalo Pineda was relieved of his duties, he talked about it. He says, you know, I believe kind of success is generally speaking, it's like 80% on the players, 20% on the coach. I think that might even be overestimating the coach's influence even a little bit. But still, if you were just to say that, you would say that you have to then prioritize getting players in if they're responsible. Mm-hmm. They're mostly responsible for the results that you get. And it's not to say that you don't go after a coach, but there's only so much you can do with your time. And when you have a transfer window that opens next week, you have to be kind of fully in on the players. And then once you get the players in, then you have a better idea of going out into the market for a coach and saying, look at the roster we have. We just signed these two designated players to long-term contracts. We'd like to hear your ideas as to how you can potentially use them, and that can hopefully get you a better kind of pairing between the roster and the coach that that they take over.
Yeah, I think the fact remains that Gonzalo Pineda wasn't fired because he was a bad coach. He was fired because the results didn't add up, and the results didn't add up because Atlanta United wasn't scoring goals.
Right.
And when you look at a lot of the XGs and like the other underlying stats in the data, it did indicate that this team was just kind of unlucky. And you know, if you talk about the injuries sustained to this roster, the lack of quality in the final third due to a lot of the injuries the team sustained. You know, I mean, you look at the amount of center backs that this team has played through. I mean, that would cripple even the best teams in this league. And it's just a situation where Atlanta's just trying to do the best with what they have.
Mm-hmm.
And as of right now, it's just not good enough. And Mike Conte said it on the broadcast. It's like, just based off of the team that they have right now that they're able to assemble, that's going to be hurt even more on Wednesday with the absence of Steon Gregerson for his second match missed in his last three matches.
Mm-hmm.
And then the eventual departure of Noah Cobb to the national team. Caleb Wiley's already gone. We talked about Thiago Almada. We've talked about Yorgos Giakoumakis. That's brutal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking multiple starting players on this roster that have departed.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to really get off the couch and get really interested. But this team, it's going to change in a hurry. We saw it happen last year. They're still right there within striking distance of the of teams in front of them on the table. And looking here at the live table, excuse me, as I pull it up. Yeah, so Atlanta sitting there with 24 points. They're 2 points off of Montreal, who did get the win tonight. Nashville also sits with two points tonight. And they're at the bottom of that playoff line. Like, they're 3 points removed from the eighth spot. Now, the situation that gets a little bit more dire is you're running out of opportunity. You're running out of runway.
Right.
And you have to take more advantage of opportunities like what you have tonight.
Yes. This was a chance for them to take points. And they're 3 points from eighth place. They're also 3 points from the bottom of the Eastern Conference.
Yes.
So this can go
two ways. I'm a hopeless optimist.
Of course. I'm just trying to say that, you know, it's like you have to take these opportunities when you can get them. And we were talking about it in the pregame show that there's tough games on the horizon. And when you look at this one, this was a great chance for you to actually take points on a place where traditionally it's the one place where you've been able to go on the road in MLS and have some, you know, modicum of success.
Yeah.
And man, just a huge disappointment tonight that didn't happen. Because again, when you look at the selection, there's still enough talent for, not necessarily saying you should definitely win the game, but definitely enough talent for you to go out there and not get dominated like this team got dominated tonight. Yeah. That was a poor showing.
Yeah, and really that's the biggest thing. I mean, Atlanta, they did get dominated, and of course they play a man down due to the Steon Gregerson red card. But Michael Head says no question, just apathy. Get it, Michael.
Yeah.
Kevin from Charlotte says, so we can only add two players this window, huh? I know they're DPs, but.
Interesting you say that, Kevin, because yes, I mean, as it stands right now, they can get two DPs in, and that would pretty much be it. But
yeah.
Actually, Carlos Bocanegra was asked this question by Doug Roberson ahead of the Indy 11 game when he did a media availability. And he said, we can only add two. We could potentially add more if we do trades, so we'll see. And then I followed up quickly. I said, are there teams interested in your players for Atlanta United that they'd want to trade for? And he said, yes. That there are a lot of players that teams have interest in, so maybe more on the horizon. I doubt that it happens just to kind of level set here, but it's not off the table.
I would be a little surprised if we do see something like that. But Garth Lagerwey says on the Five Stripes Countdown all the time, he says, the moment I will get concerned is the moment people stop calling and inquiring about my players. But going around the rest of MLS, Cincinnati, the 3-1 losers to Charlotte. Huge result there for our neighbors up I-85. DC United gets a win, getting them up off of the bottom of the mat. They get a 2-1 win over Nashville. Of course, Montreal 1-0 winners over Atlanta. Orlando continues their strong run of form, 3-1 winners over New England, who snaps that winning streak for the Revs. Toronto 2-1 winners over Philadelphia as the Union just continue to struggle here. Austin FC loses to Seattle 1-0. And then matches still in progress. Chicago and NYCFC in a shocker is tied 0-0 in the 96th minute. So 6 minutes into stoppage time. Dallas 2-0 leaders over LA Galaxy in another surprising match here in stoppage time there. Entering just now the 90th minute, St. Louis is down 3-1 to Vancouver. Houston is 0-0 with Minnesota in the 46th minute. And just at halftime, Colorado is down 1-0 to New York Red Bulls. Toronto just kicked off, but they already have a goal over Real Salt Lake, 1-0. The Timbers are on top of them there. Still to play tonight, San Jose and Sporting Kansas City and LAFC and Columbus Crew. Both of those kicking off tonight at 10:30. Of course, the latter of those two, LAFC and Columbus, a rematch of the 2023 MLS Cup Final. And we're going to have more discourse here on the other side. Atlanta United, 1-0 losers to Montreal. They extend their all competitions losing streak to 4 matches, their MLS losing streak to 3. More to come on the Five Stripes Countdown, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back with more full-time report.
A complete review of today's match on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the full-time report. Garrett Chapman, Joe Patrick in for Abe Gordon this evening. Atlanta United, the 1-0 losers up at CF Montreal. And like I mentioned in the last segment, I mean, the attacking quality just hasn't been there. 0 shots on goal, Joe Patrick.
Oh,
and I think that's really
got to be a first this season, I would think, to not have a shot on goal. I can't even remember the last time that's happened. Not let alone this season. Going back multiple seasons.
Fifth match this year that Atlanta United has held off the scoreboard entirely. But as far as not even getting a single shot on target, I cannot think of a single game where that happened. And in fact, I mean, we're talking about a game where you have one of your designated players sent off in the 55th minute, and that's hardly come up in this conversation tonight. And that's one of the crazier things about the way that this match took place. It just felt like Montreal was in complete control for much of this match. And I mean, you see the final category, it sits at 64% possession. And it seems like Atlanta did find some quality in the second half, but until they find the ability to, I mean, look, the perfect example of this was when Thiago Almada, a few matches ago in his final match, his curtain call match here in Atlanta, when he was playing against Toronto, when he had that moment where he just put the team on his back, right? And he just has that one moment of just pure brilliance. Where is that? This team just doesn't have that quality right now.
Yeah. They don't have anyone who can kind of just take the game and just kind of carry him, you know? And you need those guys.
And you see that kind of with Saba. He's trying to do that at times, and especially when we watched him play against Indy 11. I mean, Saba Lubjaniza was able to come up and make a couple of big plays, and maybe he would make a good run, and then he would feed the ball in, or maybe he'd just shoot the ball into the side of the net. And and it's really because Indy did a good job in that match of playing him to the end line. And he didn't have that same technical ability in the pocket that Thiago Almada really was able to do. And this team is just missing that right now.
Yeah, that close control and that ability to link play, you know, to just bring all the other players into the attack and just get everything moving fluidly. The team doesn't have a player that's like that right now. You've got a guy like Jean De Silva, who's capable of, you know, some really nice technical pieces of skill and able to create his own shot at times and things like that, and that's good. But it's not replicating the kind of thing that Thiago Almada was able to do, which is receive the ball in really tight spaces, especially in the attack, and put other players through, as well as creating shots for yourself. They just don't have that guy right now.
And you have to think too with what Gonzalo Pineda wanted to do. This team was set up for Gonzalo Pineda. It was a team that wanted to play with width, right? And you have a Saba and you have a Jean De Silva. Both of those guys play a lot better when they're out in space. And now you have Rob Bellantino, who's at, like you mentioned earlier, they're playing a lot tighter, and they're playing a lot more in front of goal, and you're just not getting that same quality from these guys right now, because they're playing in a system that maybe they're not really trying to do too much in. Like they're not really set up to do that kind of thing. And you see the results on the final score sheet. And look, this is the longest losing streak of the season in all competitions. It ties the MLS play, the longest streak in MLS play. But Joe Patrick... Final thoughts.
You're not. This team is just not generating enough goal-scoring chances right now. Doug Roberson from the AJC, who covers the team, says it is the first time this season the team has failed to have a shot on goal in a game this year. So, you hope to see that turn around, but again, it's going to be tough for these next couple games until you can get more players in. Maybe the Atlanta and I will have one new player in, Pedro Amador, who will be eligible to play in the team's next game. It'll be interesting to see if he's available, especially considering the team will be short a couple defenders after tonight's game. But you just hope that they can find some way to kind of get over this hump, because again, it cannot keep going this way.
Yeah, and it's just been a frustrating result for Atlanta United, one of many so far this season, as they fall to 6-11-6 in 23 matches played and outside of the playoffs as it currently stands. So next match coming up on Wednesday, July 17th, NYCFC takes the trip down south to play at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, as it looks like they finished this one, let me see, hold on, 0-0 to Chicago. So they'll be coming down here looking to get back on the winning side of things. And look, they're a very positive side. Do you have any thoughts on NYC?
I was a mistake. I didn't realize that game was on Wednesday. So actually, Pedro Amador will not be available for that game. He'll only be available next weekend. So
for Columbus.
So they'll be even more shorthanded. So just going to make things more difficult. But hopefully they can, you know, just use that home field advantage the best they can. Maybe they go with the wingers to try to spread out that field. Who knows?
We'll end up seeing. Of course, they're going to be down Steon Gregerson, down Noah Cobb, down Caleb Wiley, down Thiago Almada, down Yorgos Yakamakis. So
good luck.
We will see. For Joe Patrick, my name is Garrett Chapman. Dom Taroski on the board. Big thank you to him taking care of us all night long. Coverage in that match starting at 6:30 with the Five Stripes Countdown. Abe Gordon will be back alongside of me for that, and then we hand off to the call. From Mike Conti, Jason Longshore, good night, everybody. Atlanta United loses 1-0. Let's see if we can get it again next week. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to the Full-Time Report, a complete wrap-up of today's Atlanta United game.
Tune in for complete match day coverage all season long. The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back with more Full-Time Report.
A complete review of today's match on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the Full-Time Report. Garrett Chapman, Joe Patrick in for Abe Gordon this evening. Atlanta United, the 1-0 losers up at CF Montreal. And like I mentioned in the last segment, I mean, the attacking quality just hasn't been there. Zero shots on goal, Joe Patrick.
Oh,
and I think
that's got to be a first this season, I would think, to not have a shot on goal. I can't even remember the last time that's happened, not let alone this season. Going back multiple seasons, I wonder if it's happened.
Fifth match this year that Atlanta United has held off the scoreboard entirely. But as far as not even getting a single shot on target, I cannot think of a single game where that happened. And in fact, I mean, we're talking about a game where you have one of your designated players sent off in the 55th minute, and that's hardly come up in this conversation tonight. And that's one of the crazier things about the way that this match took place. It just felt like Montreal was in complete control for much of this match. And I mean, you see the final category, it sits at 64% possession. And it seems like Atlanta did find some quality in the second half, but until they find the ability to... I mean, look, the perfect example of this was when Thiago Almada, a few matches ago in his final match, his curtain call match here in Atlanta, when he was playing against Toronto, when he had that moment where he just put the team on his back, right? And he just has that one moment of just pure brilliance. Where is that? This team just doesn't have that quality right now.
Yeah. They don't have anyone who can kind of just take the game and just kind of carry him, you know? And you need those guys.
And you see that kind of with Saba. He's trying to do that at times, and especially when we watched him play against Indy 11. I mean, Saba Lubjaniza was able to come up and make a couple of big plays, and maybe he would make a good run, and then he would feed the ball in, or maybe he'd just shoot the ball into the side of the net. And and it's really because Indy did a good job in that match of playing him to the end line. And he didn't have that same technical ability in the pocket that Thiago Almada really was able to do. And this team is just missing that right now.
Yeah, that close control and that ability to link play, you know, to just bring all the other players into the attack and just get everything moving fluidly. The team doesn't have a player that's like that right now. You've got a guy like Jean De Silva who's capable of, you know, some really nice technical pieces of skill and able to create his own shot at times and things like that, and that's good, but it's not replicating the kind of thing that Thiago Almada was able to do, which is receive the ball in really tight spaces, especially in the attack, and put other players through, as well as creating shots for yourself. They just don't have that guy right now.
And you have to think too with what Gonzalo Pineda wanted to do. This team was set up for Gonzalo Pineda. It was a team that wanted to play with width, right? And you have a Saba and you have a Jean De Silva. Both of those guys play a lot better when they're out in space. And now you have Rob Bellantino, who's at, like you mentioned earlier, they're playing a lot tighter, and they're playing a lot more in front of goal, and you're just not getting that same quality from these guys right now, because they're playing in a system that maybe they're not really trying to do too much in. Like they're not really set up to do that kind of thing. And you see the results on the final score sheet. And look, this is the longest losing streak of the season in all competitions. It ties the MLS play, the longest streak in MLS play. But Joe Patrick... Final thoughts.
You're not. This team is just not generating enough goal scoring chances right now. Doug Roberson from the AJC, who covers the team, says it is the first time this season the team has failed to have a shot on goal in a game this year. So you hope to see that turn around, but again, it's going to be tough for these next couple games until you can get more players in. Maybe the Atlanta United will have one new player in, and Pedro Amador, who will be eligible to play in the team's next game. It'll be interesting to see if he's available, especially considering the team will be short a couple defenders after tonight's game. But you just hope that they can find some way to kind of get over this hump, because, again, you cannot keep going this way.
Yeah, and it's just been a frustrating result for Atlanta United, one of many so far this season, as they fall to 6-11-6 in 23 matches played and outside of the playoffs as it currently stands. So next match coming up on Wednesday, July 17th, NYCFC takes the trip down south to play at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, as it looks like they finished this one, let me see, hold on, 0-0 to Chicago. So they'll be coming down here looking to get back on the winning side of things. And look, they're a very positive side. Do you have any thoughts on NYC?
I was a mistake, because I didn't realize that game's on Wednesday. So actually, Pedro Amador will not be available for that game. He'll only be available next weekend. So
for Columbus,
So they'll be even more shorthanded. So just going to make things more difficult. But hopefully, they can just use that home field advantage the best they can. Maybe they go with the wingers to try to spread out that field. Who knows?
We'll end up seeing. Of course, they're going to be down Steon Gregerson, down Noah Cobb, down Caleb Wiley, down Thiago Almada, down Yorgos Yakimakis. So
good luck.
We will see. But for Joe Patrick, my name is Garrett Chapman. Dom Taroski on the board. Big thank you to him, taking care of us all night long. Coverage in that match starting at 6:30 with the Five Stripes Countdown. Abe Gordon will be back alongside of me for that, and then we hand off to the call. From Mike Conti, Jason Longshore, good night, everybody. Atlanta United loses 1-0. Let's see if we can get it again next week. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to the Full Time Report, a complete wrap-up of today's Atlanta United game.
Tune in for complete match day coverage all season long. The home for our Atlanta United is...
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.